Luke chapter number 5 is where we'll be looking tonight. Luke chapter number 5. But while you're finding Luke 5, I would like to read to you from the first two Gospels. The Bible declares in the book of Matthew chapter number 4, verse 19, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." In the book of Mark, chapter number 1, verse number 17, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Now, take your Bible with me in the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Stand with me as we read this, as I read it in your hearing. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which is Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust a little out from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5 says, And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ships, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Three of the four Gospels talks about God's people being fishers of men. And tonight, that's our thought. I want to look at the whole topic of being fishers of men. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, again, we ask for your help. We ask for your favor. Lord, would you hide anything from my memory, Lord, that would be out of the will of God. And Lord, may we focus on only that which would be in the will of God. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. I'm actually wanting to look, in just a moment, a little further down. I want to look at a verse in this passage, but I just thought about who are the characters of the passage. And who, what do they parallel and what are they types of? Well, there's Simon. And, of course, there are the disciples. And, of course, that is a picture of you and I. And not that we certainly are up to their level, but that's a picture of us. And then there's something else in the passage. There's a lot said about the nets. The net or the nets. What's the net? Well, the net, I believe, in this passage could be parallel to the ministry of the gospel. Today, Bradley Edmondson, the director of Medical Missions Outreach, made the statement. He said, I've been telling our staff about how God is putting together this network of people and how that this move has been such a big ordeal to us. So, but I told him in staff meeting, what a blessing it was to get to network with Anchor and to get to network with people that we're learning and people that we're meeting and people that we're coming to know. They were only incorporated in 2017, so they're fairly young. But what they've accomplished and what they've done has been staggering. They do 12 world missions a year, 12 major trips a year. And they take in 40 to 50 people, and they average 1,100 people a day in their clinics. And I'm not talking about just give them an aspirin and pass them on. They offer teeth extraction. They offer x-rays. They offer mild surgery. They have orthopedics. They have, you name it, hearing, eye. They have it all. and they offer all of that. They take over a public school and have their clinic. They're so big when they do all of that. And so God has raised them up very quickly. But it's a lot of, when we talk about networking, I was talking about this today in a promo, Brother Lawrence Rhodes. Brother Lawrence Rhodes, after a share-a-thon, when we introduced broadcasting over the World Wide Web, he wanted to see me after share-a-thon was over, and he met me over at the Waffle House. They tore it down, but it's the one you set right across the interstate there where the Honda place is at. And he said, I'll meet you for a cup of coffee. So we met, and he said, I didn't want to sound dumb. He said, but tell me what a World Wide Web is. And I said, well, Brother Rhodes, you know how a net, you know, a fishing net is. It's got a string this way, then it this way, and it knots here, and it goes up, and it knots, makes a square. And a net's made up of a bunch of squares of things that are tied together. He said, yeah, I get that. So well, what they've done is they've tied computers together. And I guess it started with the government, and then it went to maybe to the military, and then the government, and then colleges, and now it's called the internet, and it's all these computers that are hooked together. And so we share information, and I said, that's what it's about. And I said, we're going to begin to do audio over it. And I said, someday we'll be able to do video. He said, you'll be able to see people over tape. And I said, well, no, the day will come, it'll be live. And he said, well, where does it go? I said, well, eventually it'll go all over the world. He said, well, I can't imagine that. He said, and I'm too old to learn it, but I trust you to know what you're talking about. Put us down, we're for it. That's exactly what he said. Put us down, we're for it. And they were. And I talked to his grandson today, who's the pastor, and he said, what would Papa do if he knew that tonight I'll stand in the pulpit and I'll be seen, this is Hooper's Creek Broadcasting, I'll be seen all over the world. He said, what would Papa have done if he'd have thought he'd have been seen all over the world? I said, well, I don't know what he'd have done, but in Share-a-thon, he told me he'd give $100 if he didn't have to preach multiple times from the pulpit. He'd give $100 if he didn't have to get up here in front of this big crowd and be on television for folks to see him. But no, he'd be excited about the opportunity. Well, the net, one little piece of rope don't do much catching, but when you link them together, you see, not everybody needs a Kenworth. But then not everybody needs an operating room and a surgical suite. But some men do. Some ministries do. And on we could go with that. And so the net represents the ministry. And I truly believe that when we work together, you know, I really believe that when we work together, that's when we're the strongest, and that's when we're the most effective. Two guys on the front row, wake up. Jump up here right quick. Come here. All right, come up here. All right, come right up here. All right, do y'all know how to do a pack saddle? You know what that is? All right, we'll turn right here. Thank you. Hold your elbow right there. Come here. All right. Now, you do the opposite of that. Put that right there. Like that. Now, you grab him. You grab his arm. All right. See how that is? Now, you can actually, you know, I'm not going to embarrass them tonight. But plus I've had back surgery, and if they drop me, I'm ruined. So, but you can actually carry a pretty heavy load right away. You build a net. You see how we did it? And as you just call out a pack saddle. And we've actually carried people before. We've carried people like that hurt a leg or something. We would carry people out of the woods and stuff by doing that, making that sort of a thing. What I'm trying to say is you can do a whole lot more like that than you can trying to kiss and squeeze somebody and carry them. All right, guys, thank you. You've heard me use the illustration of Red Rover. You lock arms. You know, and when you, if you play in softball, you want the guy that can pitch, throw, and catch. But if you play in Red Rover, you want the biggest, ugliest dude you can find. Because they ain't never going to hit him, all right? And you won't lock arms with him because they ain't going to worry. They ain't going to break through with you and him. Ain't no way. By the way, if they try to break through, they may pull your arm completely off your shoulder, but he ain't turning loose your arm. You know what I'm saying? And so God help the man that tries to hit you, you know, gets hit and he's hanging on to you. He ain't giving up that line. Your arm may be dangling there by itself, but he ain't giving up that line. Well, so it is that we have to lock arms. We have to play, you know. So this is a network. This is not solo. This is a network. Sometimes we feel like we're flying solo, but that's not what this is. Ministry is a network. We're all on the same team. Anymore today, the military. Used to be that the military had separate duties, separate responsibilities, separate commanders, separate everything. They used different frequencies on the radio, and one group did their thing, and then they pulled out, and the next group did their thing, and then they pulled out, and the next group did their thing. That ain't the way it is no more in this new military. Most of what we do is joint military operations. You may have Air Force on an aircraft carrier. You could have easily Army on a submarine because it's joint operations. And we use the resources, whichever branch of the military is best suited, we use that resource and then we use this and this and this. So it's not at all uncommon anymore for all the branches of service to go in on an operation together. I saw that. When I was in the first Gulf War, I saw it. And I saw strange things, things you wouldn't imagine. I saw all sorts of different people from different branches in different locations. It was odd. During the Iraqi War, this is just how the Lord works. A Marine Corps general gave the clearance for a Navy chaplain to put up our gospel radio transmitter on a airplane base. It was a joint base. It was El Takadam, I believe, was the name of it. And we had the Marine fighter wing base there, and it was held by the Army. And when that thing arrived, the Army Signal Corps put the antenna up. The Air Force flew the thing in. The Army Signal Corps installed it. I guess it was the Marine Corps guarded it, and the Navy chaplain programmed it. And we broadcasted the gospel for months in multiple locations. But we couldn't do any of it by one branch. It all had to be done we had to use all the facilities to make it happen. But we made it happen. God made it happen. And that was the first experience that I'd ever had with, the only thing I ever knew about the military, they fought real bad when they got together in the bar. Other than that, I never knew much about it. I saw how things were different, how things worked. As a matter of fact, y'all helped send Christmas into the MAL 16, the military air lift unit. They were the mechanics. They kept the Marine jets based at El Takadam. They kept those in the air, and they were underground, and they couldn't hear the station, and so they complained, and that's when they ordered us a bigger transmitter and put it up in the middle of the desert in Iraq. A lot of people don't even remember that chapter of our history, but it happened. Yes, sir. It did happen. We got correspondence from it happening. We know it happened. Somebody said, what happened to all that? Well, we left it all behind, but so it is no more. But boy, we sure reached a lot of folks at the time, and God was able to do that. Well, I'm talking about what does the net represent? Well, the net represents the gospel ministry. And then, what about the fish? Well, the fish, they represent the lost who come under our influence. What about Jesus? Well, Jesus is who He always is. He's the master of the situation in every situation. He's who He always is. But let's go back and let's talk about that net just for a minute, okay? I want to spend some time on the net. Now, you think about what the Bible says they were doing. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 2, the Bible says that they were washing their nets. Anytime you drag a net across the bottom of a lake, it's going to get dirty. It's going to have sticks and twine, and it's going to have seaweed or whatever. It's going to happen. Just going to happen. They were washing their nets. This same passage in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 19, says when he saw the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship, what were they doing? Mending their nets. So bottom line, you had to wash the net before you could mend the net. You see, if you got a boat and you're pulling it and it hangs a rock, it's going to break your net. And so you had to have always, they would wash it and see what was wrong with it, get all the debris out, and then they would mend it. And so three things you got to always do with your net. Number one, you got to fix the nets. Got to always fix the net. No such thing of buying a net and it lasting for a lifetime and you have no repair, no maintenance. There's no such thing as that. Well, yeah, there is. There's one way you can make that happen. And that is if you don't cast the net. If you leave it in the package it came in, it'll look just like it did the day it was new. You can. You say, I don't get my net dirty. I get it. I do. Hey, I've got a net, but I never use it. It's just like it was first day I ever got it. It's brand new. Well, do you remember what the Scripture says in John 21? The Lord Jesus is on the beach and he's hollering to the disciples, have you any meat? And they didn't know who he was. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They still didn't know exactly who he was, but they obeyed the voice. And when they obeyed the voice, something happened that hadn't happened since the beginning. This is the end of their ministry. Now it's what they thought was the end of their ministry. At the beginning of their ministry, they had a great drought because they cast the net. In the end of their ministry, they have a great drought because they cast the net. Can I tell you? You can't hardly catch much if your pole ain't in the water. Hard to catch fish. I don't know a whole lot about fishing. Somebody said, do you like fishing? I said, well, not necessarily. I like catching awful well. I'm a real catcherman, but I ain't much of a fisherman. No, I'm just saying. You know, my kids, number one, if you ask either one of my kids, they'll tell you daddy can't fish. But let me tell you the rest of the story. Number one, we was always in a hurry. Number two, we had to go whenever we could get a free moment. And yeah, truthfully, we were never real successful in catching large fish or large amounts of fish. But let me tell you the problem with all of that. Their grandmother was still working at Acosta, and she'd say, hey kids, you want to go fishing? And they'd say, yeah, let's go fishing. And up on the Rosman Highway, just on the right-hand side in the Cherryfield Strait, there's the prettiest little pond. And she would take them fishing in that pond every single time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was called Morgan Mill Trout Farm. You could throw a bare hook in the water and catch three. I'm telling you, they would jump. You could dangle the hook out of the water if it smelled like a worm. You could hang a bare hook out of the water on the pier and a fish would jump up and get your hook. It's the beatenest place ever been. Listen, I'm going over to French Broad and we're trying to catch 5-inch horny heads, and here comes Grandma and she upstages me, and the kids come in with brown trout, you know, long as your arm, rainbows all filleted out, ready to go because they processed them right there. And here I am trying to get a little sun perch that I caught, you know, that's 4 inches long. And I said, what's the use? I've done been upstaged. Understand what I'm trying to say. You don't do much catching if you don't do much casting. And so you got to fix the net. You got to cast the net. I know a lot of folks, they're talking about doing something for God, but they just ain't got around to doing something for God. They've equipped to do something for God, but they don't want to get dirty. They don't want to tear it up. I've had people ask me, so, well, preacher, do you think we ought to be out here, wearing our equipment out for other ministries? God didn't give it to us to sit and look at it and polish it. And if God gave us that, then He'd give us another. As a matter of fact, who knows? He may give us a better one. If we'll be good stewards with that one, who knows what God will do in the future? We used to have a policy in this ministry. If we didn't use it for 6 months, we'd give it away. And you can ask the staff. We give away some pretty nice stuff. Matter of fact, we've given away better stuff than we kept. But we weren't using it. Somebody come along and need it. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Point I'm trying to make is God don't entrust you with things to just keep it the net in the box it came in. God wants you to cast your net. That's the ministry. And by the way, if you cast your net, you're going to get dirty. If you cast your net, you can rest assured it's going to get sticks in it. If you cast the net, it's going to break. The only vehicles that I know of that never break are those that never get driven. Anybody that's driving anything, there's going to be trouble with it. Just the way it is. I come in one day after snow was on the ground. I came in and I just walked by the Dodge and the whole fender was caved in. The back fender was caved in. And I said, who drove that truck last? And they said, well, we don't want to say. I said, Reuben did it. If you didn't want to say, that's who it had to be. It had to been Reuben. I said, Reuben! Yes, sir. I said, what happened to the truck? He said, well, I just got back. I was coming to tell you. I said, were you? He said, I was. He said, I've been in the bathroom praying before I come to see you. He said, but I was. I was praying. I was coming. I said, how did you dent that truck? He said, I went to plow Mrs. Hyde's driveway. And I had the trailer behind me, had the snow plow on it, the snow blower. And he said, as I was backing out in 280, I couldn't get turned. And as I was backing out in 280, I jackknifed the trailer accidentally. I said, so you went over there voluntarily without me asking you and plowed Mrs. Hyde's driveway, and you got her where she can get in and out, and you did her sidewalks, you shoveled it, salted it, you got everything cleaned. He said, yes, sir, but I'll pay for the truck. I said, son, you don't owe a dime for that truck. You were trying to do something for God, and things get dented when you use them. Now, by the way, if you have never tried to back that little golf cart trailer, it'll make a full-blown Class A trucker cuss, I'm telling you. That's the hardest thing to back I've ever backed in my life. Because it'll jackknife on you and be into the side of your truck. You say you talk like you're talking from experience. Well, let's just call it a bumper, all right? A whole bumper cover. Yeah. I had to replace the bumper cover on the stinking Denali because I did the very same thing. But bottom line is, if you ain't never scratched something, if you ain't never dented something, if you've never had something quit on you, it's because you ain't never done nothing with it. So you got to fix the net. You got to cast the net. But there's one other thing. You got to draw the net. Bible says that they said, cast the net on the right side of the ship in John 21:6, and they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. So not only do you have to cast it, but you got to draw it. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Sometimes we get the wrong attitude concerning casting and drawing. It's easier to catch flies with honey than it is vinegar. Sometimes we got to have a sweet spirit. Oftentimes we have the right position, we just have the wrong disposition. And boy, it shows. Look what the Bible, let's go back to verse number 5, and I want to get into the message. Chapter number 5, verse number 5, the book of Luke. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. I want to share with you the thought tonight, fishing when it sure seems out of season. Sometimes when fishing, you just want to quit and pack up and go to the house. Can I say, first of all, tonight, that there are those night times. Look what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we have toiled all the night, those night times. Can I tell you that we're supposed to be fishers of men in spite of wicked oppression. Sometimes the days get, sometimes the nights get dark. Sometimes you get, your chest gets so heavy you feel like you can't breathe. Sometimes you wake up in a cold sweat, wishing it would go away, only to find out that it's still there. And reality is worse than your dreams. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse number 12, during those night seasons, during those times of wicked oppression, we're to be reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I remind you that it's not men that are our problem, it's not people that are our problem, but it's the God of this world, the prince and the power of the air, the prince of darkness as he's called. Understand what I'm trying to say, that in spite of wicked oppression in the darkest of the night, we still have the commandment to be fishers of men. May God help us. Easy to fish when everything's going your way, but the Bible says that they had toiled all the night, and had caught nothing. Why is it that the nighttime seems to be the toughest time? Why is it that folks who don't have good mental capacity, it's particularly true in Alzheimer's patients, it's called the sundown syndrome. Why is that? Why is it sometimes they'll be as clear as a bell in the morning, but boy, as the sun begins to go down, they just start getting confused, and sometimes they just get plumb out of hand. Sometimes it's not even the person that you knew. Why is that? Why is it that seemingly it's in the middle of the night that the devil has his way of whispering in our ears and has a way of making us think and can't turn off our thoughts and like a hamster on a wheel that's running out of control? Why is it that you want to sleep, you need to sleep, but you can't sleep? Because the devil's rubbing your nose and whatever it is that's driving you crazy. Those night times. Times when it's difficult to be fishers of men. In those night times, in spite of time of wicked oppression. But notice what else he said. Same verse, chapter 5, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Not only in those night times, but we've got to continue to be fishers of men during those nothing times. And can I say, in spite of worldly opinion, when you're getting nowhere, what do you feel like doing? Hey, let's do something else. Or, wait a minute, let's change bait. That's where the contemporary movement gets all of its thrust from. Old-timey conservative churches that are in a nothing season, and because they're not seeing a whole lot accomplished, they decide, let's change bait, let's get us a praise and worship band, and let's take the hymnals up, and let's just follow like the big mega churches do it. Friend, I don't know how to explain this to you, but you can't out Hollywood. And if you think that you're going to try to compete with that, you're crazy. What you better do is sing out of that old hymn book, those old hymns, that those old people can connect with. I mean, you need to forget that 7-Eleven trash, and I mean, stick with the stuff. You say, but we ain't getting nowhere, preacher. Well, if you'll remember, it was in that fourth watch of the night that Jesus came. They didn't think they was getting anywhere. They'd only got about halfway across. But if they had not been where they were, had they not stuck with the stuff, they would have totally missed that intersection with the Lord Jesus. If they hadn't kept on rowing in spite of opposition. in spite of worldly opinion. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, well, we need to post this somewhere. We need to read it often. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. That's a slippery slope when you start saying the people down the street are doing better than we are. Therefore, we ain't doing nothing. Therefore, we're in a nothing season. Or the opposite is true. If you say, well, the church down the street, they ain't doing nothing. Look what we're doing. We're doing better than them. We must be all right. Scripture forbids both sides of that coin, good or bad. The comparison, my friend, is not what we're doing compared to that church or this denomination and that denomination, but what are we doing in comparison to the Word of God, and what are we doing in comparison to the opportunities that are before us? I'm talking about those nothing times in spite of worldly opinion. 1 Corinthians 15:58, still in the book. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You say, preacher, our labor is in vain. Not in the Lord. Not in the Lord. It's true, the disciples had rode for three watches and they hadn't got very far. But I can tell you their rowing was not in vain because they saw the greatest spectacle of the gospel. That there is no other miracle to compare to that one. When the Lord Jesus walked on that water, there was nothing to compare to that before or since. And when Simon Peter got out of the boat in the presence of the Lord, at His beckoning, he walked on the water and they saw him, a mortal, walking on the water. There ain't never been a time like that in the history of the world, before nor since. You understand what I'm saying? If they hadn't have been where they were, they'd have missed all of that. Oh, happy day. Understand what I'm trying to say. During those nothing times, during those night times, those night seasons, in spite of wicked oppression, during those nothing seasons, in spite of worldly opinion, well, that church down there ain't doing nothing. Look in verse 5. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, look at the phrase, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And then he says this, nevertheless, amen, at thy word I will let down the net. Can you kind of hear the tone of his voice? Lord, we're tired. Lord, we spent the whole night. It's been night for us. It's been a tough night. We're tired. Our hands are sore. We ain't caught nothing. We've been in night season, Lord. And then we've been in the nothing season. Ain't we got nothing to show for the night? We're just going to call it a day. We're tired. We're done. We're done. We're toast. We're done. And the Lord says, put your net down. So when it's almost like he's arguing. Lord, Master, we've toiled all the night. And we've taken nothing. And the Lord Jesus doesn't say anything. Now maybe there's this long dramatic pause, and then Simon says, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. Did it ever occur to you that the Lord Jesus had borrowed those boats? And I can't find where the Lord Jesus ever used anything that he didn't pay for. You ever thought about that? Peter had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. She was sick at Capernaum, remember? What do you reckon they did with all those fish? That's probably how their families lived, for those that had families and were married. a great multitude, a great drought of fish. The Lord Jesus said, you let me use the boat. I just want to be a blessing to you. Right over there. Just cast right over there. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word. The Bible says they toiled. That word toil, it means to feel fatigued. It means to work very hard. It means to be wearied. And so we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I want you to notice that that's not exactly what the Lord Jesus told him to do. The Lord Jesus said, let down the nets, plural. And Simon Peter said, nevertheless, we'll let down the net. You see, the Lord Jesus had already summoned all those fish from whatever part of the lake to come. And he knew how many there were, and he knew how many it would take to haul the fish. Can I tell you, God never wants to sink your boat with the blessings of the Lord. It's just that sometimes we're not in full obedience in such a way that we can receive what God's got. I think about what the nevertheless times. I'm talking about being a fisher of men in spite of just being worn out. Mentally, emotionally, physically, just wore out, just fed up. I just had all you can stand, just had all you can take. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the Christ said there in the Garden of Gethsemane, but the flesh is weak. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The scripture says, at thy word I will let down the net. Bottom line, he didn't do it because he felt like it. He didn't do it because he had any anticipation it was going to do any good. But he did it because the Lord directed it. He did it because the Lord desired it. He did it because the Lord commanded it. And can I tell you what God commands and what God desires and what God directs? He'll bless it. He always does. The old saying is, what God orders, He pays for. And I've always seen that to be the case. And the Bible says in Luke 5:6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net, singular, brake. Luke 5:9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Can I tell you? You just never know. You say, preacher, we've been casting the net, casting the net, casting the net, and we're weary. Preacher, we've been casting the net, casting the net, casting the net, and the world's opinions we're just so discouraged. Preacher, we've been casting the net and casting the net. But preacher, there's such wicked oppression. There ain't no fish biting right now. This ain't fishing season. You just never know when you cast the net that one last time. You just never know if that's going to be the time. In the fourth watch of the night, when you fought all night against wicked oppression, when it's been that time of nothingness, in spite of the world's opinion that, you know, oh, you're not doing any good, you're not making any headway, and in those nevertheless times, in spite of being worn out, we just, in blind obedience, say, yes, Lord, and we cast out the net, and suddenly we feel a tug. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, a tug on a fisherman's reel is about the most exciting thing that he's ever had happen. But can I tell you, when you get a tug from above, boy, when you stand out this pulpit, Brother Whittemore, and you preach and you preach and you preach everything you know and a few things you ain't right sure about, and you never get a bite, But oh, happy day when one day you cast your net out, not expecting much in return, and you feel that holy heavenly tug. Woo! You talk about drawing all net. You talk about, hey, God will provide enough reward in that one load. God will provide enough to get you through, hallelujah, the night seasons. He'll provide enough for you to get you through those nothing seasons. He'll provide enough for you to get you through those nevertheless seasons. All it takes is just one tug. And oh, happy day. You'll be worth it. You'll be glad. You'll be so glad that you just kept on being fishers of men.